Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 10, Day 2 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 13, 6-9. If you're enjoying this podcast and would like to grow in your understanding of God's Word even more, let me encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Series in print, available at Amazon.com. For easy links to the books, go to 10weekbible.com. That's the number 10weekbible.com. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? Come and touch us and fill us. Oh, we want to know you. We want to be close to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews 13, starting in verse 6. So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" So our author here is quoting again from the Psalms, and it reminding us, kind of tying back into yesterday's podcast, reminding us that the Lord is for us. We don't need stuff. We don't need to worry about what we're going to eat and all these kind of things. Jesus is like, don't worry about that stuff. I feed the birds of the air. I clothe the flowers of the field in more splendor than Solomon had. Do not worry about anything. I was looking at a snowflake today that landed on my windshield, and I got real close and I could see the design. I could see an individual snowflake, and with my naked eye, as much as I could tell, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful, and it made me think about how it's unlike any other snowflake that's ever fallen. I looked around on the ground, and there's billions or trillions of snowflakes just in my field of view right there, and they pile up, and they amount to tons and tons of snow. And all of the little crystals that make up all that snow, every one was unique that fell. That God that has the creative ability to make sure that nature has never created two snowflakes alike, of the trillions or gazillions of snowflakes that have ever fallen, that amount of creativity, he's not lacking in resources. Whatever we need, he can give us. Whatever we're lacking, he can provide it for us. And we don't have to worry about the money and things that people can steal away from us. There's always more money to be made. There's always more opportunities. When we follow the Lord, and sometimes, you know what, we lose awesome opportunities when we follow the Lord, when we do what he's asking, and instead we get lesser opportunities that make us less money or get us less notoriety and things like that. So it's not that just because we follow the Lord, everything always gets bigger and better. It doesn't work that way. But how it does work is that we have a God who sees what we do and he rewards for eternity. So sometimes when we follow the Lord, the results, the payout is bigger and better on the other end. Sometimes it's not. I think about men like Oscar Schindler, who, you know, he saved so many Jewish people from slaughter during World War II. He was a wealthy businessman. He had to give it all up. And he was a pretty confident businessman, thought that he would do pretty well after the war. And he never was able to, you know, rekindle that entrepreneurial spirit. He never was able to start a successful business again. And, you know, struggled the rest of his life. But I have to imagine the reward he has in heaven for what he did for the Jewish people. Nothing on this earth will ever compare to that. So if nothing else, the Lord is our helper. What can mortals do to us in lieu of what we have for eternity? Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what we have here, of course, is our author is alluding to these leaders of the past. you know, the icons that we talked about in chapter 11, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Elijah, Moses, these guys, think about, you know, they were their leaders. He's speaking to the Hebrew people. So they were your leaders in the past. Consider their way of life, the outcome of their way of life. We're talking about dead people here. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate that faith. Do the things that they did, because listen, even though they've been long gone, Jesus is the same today as he was then when he was helping them. God has not changed from ancient times. And so if those men and women had faith, like we mentioned in chapter 11, and the Lord came through for them, even though none of them saw the outcome of what they were hoping for, the Lord still moved in their life. So consider what they did and imitate it. Because if God came through for them, he can come through for you now. Verse 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. So here we're starting to kind of just throw a whole bunch of stuff, and this is, you know, together all at once. And this is how a lot of the epistles in the New Testament go, is kind of the final chapters, you know, all the greetings and final thoughts. And, you know, my inkwell is almost dry, so I've got to, you know, get in as many good things as I can think of all at once. And so things start to get very compressed here. And so we've got multiple thoughts in this same sentence. You know, number one, don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. This is so important. And the way that we get strange teachings is by people thinking they've come up with new teachings. What I'm doing and what I'm trying to do with the 10-week Bible study is not give you some new or novel understanding or interpretation of Scripture. I don't want to do that. That's the quickest way to get off the reservation. I want to teach you ancient things. One of my favorite things to do is to, you know, go through commentaries and go through things that, you know, maybe a lot of other people have read. But even more than that, I love finding old things that are not as commonly read. There's not that many Christians out there that like to read the Talmud and things like that, and to try and understand the Bible from a Jewish perspective. And I'm as far from a Jew as you can possibly get. I'm Gentile as they come. I love my bacon. But it was to the Jews that the Lord gave this book, and I'm the one grafted in. So I want to know how they thought. Doesn't mean that I have to agree with all of it. Doesn't mean that I have to like it. It doesn't mean that it's good. I mean, Jesus pointed out a lot of the aberrant teaching that the rabbis had, and all of that stuff is still in the Talmud, but I love reading these. I love finding these things. I love finding little nuggets from, you know, times past that get overlooked and forgotten. So my hope is that I'm teaching you ancient things, things that have been time-tested, because when we get off into other things, things that sound new, that's not a good place to be, because remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we've found something new, or if we think, you know, Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, all the crazy ideas that, you know, our author here is talking about, they were tried out before him, or they've been tried out since. But when we do think that we've found something new in the Word of God, and we come up with some novel teaching of, you know, hey, no one's ever seen it this way before, you know, the warning bell should be going off. I mean, that should cause a serious distress if we're like, oh, this guy's teaching something that no one has ever noticed in the Bible before. That's bad. That's really, really bad. And even though it's probably not actually true, nothing is new, all of the crazy ideas we come up with today, if they're not the Lord, then they were seeded by someone else. The Bible in other places calls it the doctrine of demons. And the enemy loves to sow in these false doctrines and these ideas that aren't time tested. And so there's a lot of safety and power in not deviating from the time tested understandings and teachings of the Bible. This whole idea right now, our culture worldwide is just going off the reservation. People are believing in these strange teachings all the time about, you know, marriage and, you know, gay people should be married and God is okay with this and God was okay with things that are very clearly named as sins in the Bible. And people are saying, well, it's okay. You know, that's, you know, antiquated. We need to have a more modern understanding. And there is no modern understanding of the Bible. You have an ancient understanding of the Bible. You have a time-tested understanding of the Bible, or you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe in God. It's that simple. And you know, if you have some area that you differ with me in interpretation or something, I'm not saying that if you don't believe exactly as I do that you're not a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you start to go off the reservation, when you start to say, well, I know that for the past, you know, 15, 16 centuries, people have looked at the Bible this way, but I think they're all wrong. You know, danger, Will Robinson. That is a dangerous, dangerous path. And that's what our author is warning us against here. Do not go down that road. There is nothing good down that road. Don't do it. You know, it's good for our hearts, back in verse 9 again, to be strengthened by grace, you know, not by eating the ceremonial foods, which, you know, there's no benefit. So this is something that we don't really do so much. Maybe if you went on a mission trip to India or some other place where they're eating sacrifice, ceremonial foods and things like that. This specifically is not really something that's immediately applicable to us. And a lot of times people try and find, you know, some, you know, parabolic meaning of this, something spiritual that they can say, well, this applies to our life. I don't really always like doing that. It can always be appropriate if you want to find some, you know, quote unquote hidden meaning, you know, and how we can apply this to our lives today. But what I think is actually more important here is to be very careful with this. Because we are not really steeped in our Western culture in idol worship and things like that, this on the surface doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But don't discount the fact that for a lot of people, millions of people around the world, maybe even several billion people around the world, this is still very much a reality to them. Very much a reality. Up in their face, in their business all the time. This is still very real in our world today. And don't doubt that it's not possible for it to become a reality to us in the West. These kinds of things, the Bible tells us in Revelation, the end times, you know, the Antichrist is going to convince everyone to worship an idol, an image of himself. I tend to doubt that he's going to be able to do that if people haven't been worshiping idols of other kinds and things like that before him. So I think that for all of our great wisdom and learning and everything that the West prides themselves in, I don't believe that the West is above going back to idol worship. Literal, hold in your hands little idols that you buy and worship as gods. I don't think the West is above that. Because the Bible says that humanity is not above that. So, even though this doesn't seem to apply to us, you know, in the literal sense, in the here and now, there are people that it does apply to around the world, and it might just apply to us in the future. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe not in our lifetime. In someone's lifetime, before the end of all this, it really is going to apply worldwide all at once. But for now, I am thankful that it doesn't necessarily apply directly to us in the here and now because we are better for it as a nation, as a people. And on that, I think it's a good place to end. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.